الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue our readings in the work كتاب الكبائر by the great scholar Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى, the book about the major sins. And we continue reading from where we had left off. And the author, he says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, Babu ma ja'a fi lamzi ahli ta'atillahi wal istihza'i bi da'afatihim. Wal istihza'i bi da'afatihim. The chapter of the author, he's mentioning now that which has come with regards to mocking and making fun of those who obey Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, laughing and making a mockery of the weak from the believers, making fun of and laughing at the weak ones from the believers, any from the people who are known to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. That which has come with regards to al-lams, al-lams yukunu bil-qawli, wal-hamzu yukunu bil-fi'l. Al-lams, yani, meaning that they say bad things about him, and they talk bad about him, and they belittle them, and they mock them. Yani, the people who are upon the obedience of Allah. And likewise, they're mocking and belittling those who are weak from the believers. So no doubt this here is from the traits of the hypocrites. From the traits of the hypocrites is that they will laugh, and they will mock the believers. And they will laugh at them and mock them because of their religion, and because of their deen, because of their actions of obedience, and because of the fact that they hold fast to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they restrict themselves to that way diligently, they become different and strange compared to the rest of the people. And the hypocrites and those who have diseases in their hearts and those people who are misguided, they will belittle them and mock them for that. They will belittle them and mock them for that, and this is a major sin. And likewise, those who are weak from the believers as well, those who are poor, or those who are not strong, and they don't have support and the likes like this, to belittle them and to mock them as well. This is from the most specific traits of the hypocrites and those who have diseases in their hearts. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, عَنْ أَبِي مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ آيَةُ الصَّدَقَةِ كُنَّا نَحْمِلُ عَلَى ظُهُورِنَا فجاء رجل فتصدق بشيء كثير فقالوا مراء وجاء رجل فتصدق بصاع فقالوا إن الله لغني عن هذا إن الله لغني عن هذا فنزلت الذين يلمزون المطوعين من المؤمنين في الصدقات. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Mas'ud al-Badri رضي الله عنه الأنصاري البدري رضي الله Anhu, and he mentions that whenever the verse about the sadaqah was revealed, ayatul sadaqah, wallahu alam, what is being referred to is the verse in Surah At-Tawbah. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. So whenever this verse was revealed, Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, كُنَّا نَحْمِلُ عَلَى ظُهُورِنَا. And hakada, like this in this text, but in al-Bukhari and Muslim, kunna nuhamil. Kunna nuhamil. But what does that mean? Kunna nuhamil, yani kunna nahmilu ala dhuhurina. Yani liktisab al-amwal, natasaddaqu bihi. And this was their case, and this was their situation. He's informing us now of the situation of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever the verse about charity was revealed, and the believers, they were encouraged to perform the charity, and that if they had performed that charity, it would be a means to purify them and to cultivate them and to benefit them in a great manner. He says, whenever this was revealed, we started carrying things on our backs in order to earn a living, yani so that we would have money to give charity. And he meaning that they would use their own bodies, and they would work physical labor, and they would carry luggage and other items on their backs, any as labor and as handymen and the likes like this, any for one purpose only, and that is to earn some wealth so that they could give it away in charity, hopefully to be included in the verse that was revealed. Hoping to be included in the verse that was revealed. So this is a high status, clarifying the rank of the companions and the true believers, how whenever they hear the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, they are affected and they hope to be included. Whenever they hear the words of Allah Azza wa Jal encouraging the good and mentioning the great reward for the righteous and the pious and mentioning their beautiful traits, they hope to comply to that and to abide by that so that they can obtain that reward, to the extent that one of them, he would not have any money to give in charity, so therefore he would immediately go and work, even putting himself in manual labor and carrying things on his own back in order to get money. In order to get money, but not for the sake of the money, but in order to have something to give charity with. In order to have something to give charity with. So he says, كُنَّا نُحَامِلْ يعني نَحْمِلُ عَلَى ذُهُورِنَا لِنَتَكَسَّبَ بِذَلِكَ وَلَتَصَدَّقَ بِالْكَسْبِ وَالْرِبَحِ يعني so that they can give in charity. He says, فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ فَتَصَدَّقَ بِشَيْءٍ كَثِيرٍ. So a man, he came and he gave a great amount of charity. يعني it's mentioned that this is Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, and that he had come with a vast amount of wealth, and that he had given a great amount of wealth, and he 40 uqiyah in gold, is what is mentioned, that he had come and he has given any lots of money, any as charity. Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Faqalu ay al-munafiqun, faqalu mura'in. So whenever Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he came and he gave all this great amount of charity, what did the hypocrites say at this time? Oh, he's showing off, mura'in. He's showing off, and he's only doing that for the people to see him and to praise him. He's not sincere. He's not doing that for the sake of Allah. This is what they said about him. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ فَتَصَدَّقَ بِصَاعٍ. And another man, he came and he gave charity, yani a sa', yani a small sa', yani a small amount of some type of dry food and the likes like this. And he said, compared to the great amount that was given before, this is very little. This is very little, but this individual, his situation is different. He's not in the financial circumstance of the one who had given a lot. Rather, he only has a little bit. So from his little bit, he gave a sa'. And at this time, now the hypocrites, they accuse him likewise. And they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌ أَنْ هَذَا. In some words, لَغَنِيٌ أَنْ سَعِي هَذَا. Verily, Allah Azza wa Jal, he has no need for this little amount of charity. Belittling this. So whenever the man, he came and gave lots of money, then the hypocrites, what did they do? They belittle him and they mock him and they laugh at him and they accuse him even in his intention. Oh, he's showing off and he's not sincere. He's showing off. He's just doing that to show off. The only reason he's giving that large amount of money is to show off and to have praise yani amongst the people. This is what they claim. And then whenever another person, he came and he gave only a little bit, yani because this is all that he had, then likewise they accused him as well. And they mock him and belittle him as well and find fault with him. And they say, oh, Allah is in no need. Allah is in no need of that small amount and that small sa'. And why is he giving this in charity, this small amount? Why did he come with this such a small amount? This is pathetic. Allah is in no need of that. Allah is in no need of that. And this is what they're saying. But in reality, and this statement is a great calamity and a great mistake and great error in the understanding of Tawheed. Who can point that out for us? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌ أَنْ هَذَا أَنْ سَعِي هَذَا. They're belittling the amount. It's only a little bit of amount of charity. They're only giving this person, he only gave a little amount of charity. It's mentioned his name is Abu Aqil radiallahu anhu. He didn't have much, but this is what he gave. So now they're belittling him and laughing at him and accusing him likewise. But what are they saying? Allah, he's not in need of that. Why did you give that? You can keep that for yourself, that little bitty amount. Allah is not in need of that. With the aqeedah, huh? صح. Huh? التعالي على الله, huh? The niyyah. This here is a sign they don't understand Tawheed. This is a sign here of their foul understanding of a Tawheed. Allah, he's unknown. Whenever the one, he gave a great amount of charity, they claimed him, they accused him of being showing off. When somebody gave a small amount of charity, they said, Allah, he's in no need of that. Why are you giving that amount? All of this, what you're saying is right, but it's not the answer to the question. Huh? The sign that they do not have understanding of Tawheed. They look at the small amount and they say, why you give that? Allah is in no need of that. So the large amount Allah is in need of? Allah, he's not in need of the large amount either. So the one who gave 40,000, the one who gave 40,000, the one who gave 80,000, Allah is in no need of that likewise. Allah, he's in no need of that likewise. So the fact that they find fault, that Allah, he's not in need of that little amount. Allah is not in need of a large amount likewise. Allah is not, he's not in need of anything. Before that, they misunderstood the whole situation from the foundation. They do not know Allah. Allah, he is not in need of anything. Allah, he is not in need of anything. So the one who came in the first place with 1,000 or 40,000, or he came with all of the gold, everything in this earth, Allah is not in need of that. Even on the day of judgment, those who disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jalla and die, that man, they will try to ransom themselves with everything in the world, وَمِثْلُهُ مَعَ لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ. And they will not be able, and they will never be accepted from them. Allah is not in need of anything. Allah is not in need of anything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ الْغَنِي. So Allah, he's not in need of that small amount. He's not in need of a large amount. He's not in need of a large amount. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all needs and worthy of all praise. So this is a shout understanding in the first place. Not to mention that they're belittling this affair. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accepts the charity from those who give, no matter how much it is. No matter how much it is. And maybe somebody will give a small amount, but it will be greater in reward with Allah azza wa jalla because of his intention. Or because of his situation. Maybe somebody who would give 1,000 dinar and he has 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000, for example. Somebody who has 100,000 and he gives 1,000, it's nothing for him, it's easy. Somebody who has $1 and he gives 50 cents, he gave half of his wealth. He gave half of his wealth. So this small amount now is going to go much further in his scale because now he's given half of his wealth. Somebody who has nothing to his name except for $100. And he gives 50 of it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He gave half of his wealth. Another person, he has $5,000. And he gave $500. He gave way more than the other person, right? He gave it way more than the other person. But if they're both sincere, the other person, his reward will be greater because he gave half of his wealth. The other person, he only gave a small percentage of his wealth. So somebody who has $5,000 in their hand and he gives $500 in charity, no doubt that's a good deed. But somebody who has $100 in his hands and that's all he has and he gives 50 of it in charity, he gave half of what he has. So therefore, it's possible that somebody may give less and have a greater reward. Or maybe somebody will give a great amount of charity and he's showing off and he won't have nothing except for the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the point is now is to realize that these people, they're hypocrites. And this is from the signs of the hypocrites, to mock and to belittle and to make fun of the righteous in their actions of charity and their actions of obedience. And then even along with that, they have misunderstood. They need the clarification of their ignorance. And Allah, he mentions in many verses in the Quran about the hypocrites specifically that they are qawmun la yafqahun, that they have no fiqh. And this is an example of that. They don't have no fiqh in the deen. La yafqahun wa la ya'lamun wa la yaqinun. This is from the attributes of the hypocrites. They don't have understanding. They don't have understanding. This is an example of that because Allah, he's not in need of a large amount nor a small amount. Or he's not in need of the small amount as they claim. And likewise, Allah, he's not in need of a large amount as well. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in any case, we see that this is the issue. Whenever they came in this manner, one of them, he gave a lot of wealth and charity and they accused him of showing off. And then another man, he came and he gave what he had in charity and it was a small amount. So they belittle him and they mock him. And then at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed the verse, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّادِقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So this is a great threat for them. Those people who are making fun and laughing at those who give from their charity voluntarily. And likewise, those who give from the small and the small amount of wealth that they have. That they laugh at them and they mock them and they belittle them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will mock them and belittle them as a punishment in return. That they will be mocked and belittled as a punishment in return. And they will have a painful punishment in the hereafter. So again, this is from the attributes of the hypocrites. Those who laugh at the believers. Look at his pants. They're above his ankles. What is he waiting for, a flood? Or they would laugh at the sister, for example. Look at that ninja over there. Saying the statements like this that some people may say and they think that it's a joke or that it's funny. La, this is a major affair. This is a major affair. This is something that is legislated. يعني the hijab, the proper hijab is legislated. To have the pants above the ankles is legislated. يعني to have a beard, somebody may laugh at the beard and the likes like this, or the laughing at the miswak. All of these affairs with the person, he's using the miswak and they belittle him. What is he doing with the stick in his mouth? Saying the likes of these words, and saying the likes of these words is very dangerous. And mocking and belittling the believers. And the likes like this, whenever they lower their gaze or they turn away from that which is impermissible, or they guard their tongues and the likes like this, and then people will mock them and they will say things about them and belittlement and the likes like this. This is all here from the actions of the hypocrites, and this is from the major sins. This is from the major sins. After this, the author, he says, Babu al-istihza. Babu al-istihza. So now we see the chapter of Al-Istihza. Al-Istihza is similar to that which has preceded. And it's to mock the people and to belittle them. To mock them and to laugh at them and to belittle them. He says, وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ يَضْحَكُونَ, that indeed those people who committed crimes, any crimes of disobedience and crimes against the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, violating the halal and the haram, violating the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal and the commandments in this worldly life, كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون, they used to laugh at those who believe. In this life, those people who were falling into crimes and actions of disobedience and had no care and concern for the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, what are they doing in this life? Laughing at the believers. Laughing at them and how they are humble, and laughing at them and how they are truthful, and laughing at them and how they turn away from much of the foolishness of the people of the worldly life, and laughing at them how they suffice with that which is halal, and laughing at them because of their clothing or their dress, or laughing at them because of their modesty and the likes like this, laughing at them yani because of their wudu and their tahara, or because of their salah, or because of the way they look, so on and so forth, because of their religion. Yani this is the way of the disbelievers in this life, laughing at the believers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجَرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ, and whenever they pass by them, يَتَغَامَزُونَ, they're winking at one another. Look at that guy over there. Look at his thobe. What is he wearing? A dress? Like this, laughing at each other. What is that woman wearing? Don't she know it's hot outside? She's not hot. Is she not hot outside like this? Like this is some of the things. And then they'll look at each other and they'll wink to each other and they'll laugh in mockery. And they'll laugh in mockery. This is what is being referred to here. This is al-istihza. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَاكِهِينَ, and whenever they go back to their family, they go back laughing and joking, making a mockery. You see that guy? You remember that? You remember that person we seen in the street or on the market? You seen that lady or that old lady? Oh, ha ha ha! Like this, laughing at the believers, laughing at the believers. This is the way of the disbelievers in this life. This is the way of the disbelievers in this life. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ, and then whenever they see them, whenever the disbelievers they see them, they say about the believers, "Oh man, these people are misguided. These individuals are misguided. What's wrong with him? He's misguided. He's upon misguided. What are they doing? Crawling on the ground. What are they doing? Putting his face on the ground. What is he doing with his foot in the sink, for example? What is he doing? Yani like that. Why does he have a beard like that? Why is her face covered? What's wrong with her? Like this. These people are misguided. That's what they're saying in this life. This is what Allah is informing us about them. And we see this around here. If you go to the store and you see somebody mocking like this, then you just remember this verse. And you remember the end and the final outcome of this affair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions about them after that, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ, and these disbelievers or these people who are making mockery of the Muslims and of the believers, they were not sent as guardians or protectors to watch over them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَارِ يَلْحَكُونَ, but today, meaning on the day of resurrection, the day of judgment. And the day of judgment, what would happen? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَى الْكُفَارِ يَلْحَكُونَ, those who believe, they'll be laughing at the disbelievers. Now who has the last laugh? Like in the hereafter, who will have the victory? And who will be on top? And who will be laughing? And how will the situation be now? يعني فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَارِ يَلْحَكُونَ يَلْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ على الأرائك ينظرون, they will be on thrones in paradise. ينظرون يعني ينظرون إلى ربهم, looking at their Lord, سبحانه وتعالى, looking at their Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those disbelievers, then they will not see their Lord. Whether they will see nothing but punishment. They will see nothing but punishment and agony and regret. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And are the disbelievers recompensed for anything except that which they did? Meaning they will indeed be recompensed for their sins. They would indeed be recompensed for their sins. So the point here is to clarify that mocking the believers for their religion and laughing at the Muslims, this is from the actions of the disbelievers. This is from the way of the disbelievers. So likewise, some Muslims there tried with this as well, mocking and laughing at the people of the Sunnah, or those individuals who will hold fast to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even some of the Muslims, they'll fall into that. And this is a major sin. And this is a dangerous affair, and a sign that they have a foul understanding, and a sign that their religion is very weak, and they have fallen into a bad situation. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something to take heed from. He says, وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًا حَتَّى أَنْسَوْكُمْ ذِكْرِي وَكُنْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ تَضْحَكُونَ. That you had taken them as a joke and a mockery. And he's speaking to the disbelievers. This is in the hereafter too. This is in the hereafter likewise. These verses are referring to this affair. This is what the disbelievers will say in the hereafter. فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًا. It said to them that you had taken them as a mockery. حَتَّى أَنْسَوْكُمْ ذِكْرِي. Until that your mockery of the believers and laughing at them and joking at them and poking fun at them has caused you to forget my remembrance. And وَكُنْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ تَلْحَكُونَ, and you all used to laugh at them. And in the verses before this clarifying yani this issue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قَالَ اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will say to the disbelievers, قَالَ اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. Yani be disgraced. May you be disgraced in the hellfire. Do not even speak to me. Allah will tell them whenever they're asking for relief and they're asking for mercy and the likes like this, Allah will say to them, اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. May you be disgraced in there. May you be in a punishment of disgrace, and do not even speak to me. And then Allah, He says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي يَقُولُونَ. Indeed, there was a group of my slaves that they used to say, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. That indeed there was a group of our slaves that they used to say, oh, our Lord, indeed we believe. We believe, meaning we believe in you and we believe in the recompense in the last day. So therefore forgive us and show mercy on us. Indeed, you are the best of those who show mercy. And then Allah, He mentioned about these individuals. What is their outcome? فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًا. And you took those individuals here. What did they say in this life? Those people who are in this life from a group of the slaves of Allah, they say, oh, our Lord, indeed we believe. So therefore, forgive us our sins and have mercy on us. And you're the best of those who show mercy. So these people, what did they do? They took those individuals who believed and called on Allah and hoped for His mercy and hoped for His forgiveness. They took them sukhriyan, yani laughing at them and mocking at them until they're preoccupied with that, until they forgot the remembrance of Allah. Wa kuntum minhum tadhakun. And they used to laugh at them. They used to laugh at them. What is the recompense on the other hand? Inni jazaytuhum al-yawma bima sabaru wa annahum humul faizun. And those people who used to laugh at and who used to mock and who used to pick fun of and who used to belittle, I have recompensed them today on this day because of their patience, that they are the winners. They are the humul faizun. They are the ones who are successful, meaning they're the winners, they're the ones who obtained sa'ada. وَالْفَلَاحِ وَالنَّجَاحِ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. They're the ones who obtained felicity and happiness and joy and peace and safety from the punishment of the hellfire. And in those who in this life, they were patient upon the harm that they met from the disbelievers and from the harm that they met from those disobedient people who mocked them because of their religion and mocked them because of their steadfast and holding on to the sunnah and the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalama. So the point now is to clarify again that this is the way of the disbelievers, and those who do that, their outcome is that they will be in the fire. The people in this life who disbelieve in Allah in the last day, this is their trace. They mock and belittle the believers. They mock and belittle the believers. He says wa qawlihi, and the statement of Allah the Most High, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. And now he mentions the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, O you who believe, Do not mock one another. Do not let a people from you mock another people. And do not mock one another. لا يسخر بعضكم من بعض. Do not mock and belittle one another. Do not laugh and put down one another like this. It's possible that they are better than you. And maybe the one who is mocking somebody, the one who is being mocked and belittled, has a higher status and rank with Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's closer and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, after this, mentioning specifically, and also the women, they should not mock one another as well. In general, whenever the orders are mentioned in the Quran, or the commandments or prohibitions are mentioned in the book or in the sunnah, it's understood that the women are included. But in certain circumstances, sometimes the women will be mentioned along with the men specifically to emphasize the affair. So likewise, the women should not belittle one another. And from the believers, this is advice for the brotherhood and the fraternity of Al-Iman, for the brotherhood of faith, that the believers, they do not mock one another. They do not laugh at one another. They do not belittle one another, not the male and not the female. And not the male and not the female. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. Because maybe some of those women that you're laughing at and mocking are better than the ones who are doing the mocking. Are better than the ones who are doing the mocking and the ones who are laughing. And this is the case. It has been reported authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Rubba ash'atha akbara madfu'an bil abwab, law aqsama 'ala Allahi la abarra." La aqsama 'ala Allahi la abarra. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that maybe there is an individual who is dirty, dusty, and disheveled, and his hair is out of place and he's dirty, and he whenever he comes to the doors, the people turn him away. And he, in the eyes of the people, he's insignificant. But if he swore over Allah, Allah would, if he swore by Allah that Allah would do something, Allah will fulfill his oath. Yani Allah will fulfill his oath. For example, if he said, "I swear by Allah, Allah will make this happen. I swear by Allah, Allah is going to make this happen." Or, "I swear by Allah, this will not happen." Like swearing by Allah and then upon Allah like this. And then this person, he is so righteous and his status with Allah is so great that Allah, he will fulfill that for him. And he will fulfill his oath for him like this. And this is the case, and this happened in the life of one of the companions, Yani, of Anas ibn Nadr, that he took an oath whenever one of his family members had violated someone and chipped their tooth, and then whenever it was Rabi'a, and whenever the qasas was going to be made, he said, "Wallahi, Rabbi, the tooth of Rabi'a is not going to be, it's not going to be chipped. It's not going to be chipped like this. It's not going to be broken." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Anas, this is the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the order of Allah Azza wa Jal." And before that, they were trying to give the blood money, and they would not take the blood money. Until finally, it was coming to the extent that there's going to be qasas put on Rabi'a. And then whenever Anas, he came and he swore by Allah in this manner like this, over Allah, Allah, and wallahi, her tooth is not going to be chipped. Then all of a sudden, the people, they came, and they had pardoned and they forgiven, they took the blood money. And so this is an indication of the high status of this man, and that he would swear by Allah that something would occur, and it would occur. And it would occur in that manner. Allah will fulfill that for him. And so that he would not invalidate his oath. So that this is the narration. Maybe somebody who the people consider to be insignificant, he has a lot of piety in his heart. He has a high status and rank with Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, we shouldn't belittle somebody, because maybe we'll belittle somebody and that person is better and more beloved to Allah than us. So therefore, this is the advice that Allah has given His believing slaves. So the point is now that to mock and to belittle the people, this is from the major sins. And likewise, this is from the way of the disbelievers and the way of the hypocrites, especially mocking the Muslims, especially mocking them for their religion. Especially mocking them for their religion. This is even more severe. It's one thing to mock the people and to laugh at them, but then to mock at them because of their actions of obedience and holding fast to their religion, this is more severe. This is more severe and also more disgusting. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, عَنْ الْحَسَنِي. We pay attention here, huh? عَنْ الْحَسَنِي قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Who was Al-Hasan? Al-Hasan al-Basri. In the narrations, in the chains of narration in general, especially in this position here of the chain, at the end of the chain before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or close to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it said Al-Hasan, what is intended is Al-Hasan al-Basri. And he died in the year 110. So he's from the? He's from the Tabi'een. He's from the Tabi'een.
He didn't met the Prophet.
Ahsanta, this is what we're looking for. قال الحسن قال. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الحسن قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Hassan, he said, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said. So what is this? What kind of hadith is this first and foremost? Hadith marfu'. Huh? Hadith marfu'. Why? It's called marfu', first and foremost, huh? No, because it's ascribed to the Prophet. Any hadith that's ascribed to the Prophet is marfu'. You understand that? We talked about this before. Hadith marfu', ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير أو صفة خلقية أو خلقية. هذا كله حديث مرفوع. The matn is marfu'. Who is this narration ascribed to? He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who was ascribing it to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? التابعي. So this is called مرفوع التابعي. What is that known as? المرسل. We took this in our previous class in مصطلح حديث. مرفوع التابعي is called مرسل. And المرسل is من أنواع الحديث الضعيف. من أقسام الحديث الضعيف. So there's an indication here that this narration is weak. And that's identified very clearly for somebody who has the minimum basic understanding of the Mustalah Hadith, he'll be able to identify a weakness in this chain right here. We understand that. And this is very clear from what we took in our previous class in Mustalah Hadith, that Hassan al-Basri, he's from the Tabi'een. وَرَفَعَهُ إِلَى النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم فَهَذَا مَرْفُوعُ التَّابِي فَهَذَا يُكُونُ مُرْسَلًا وَالْمُرْسَلْ ضَعِيفٌ. If a Tabi'i, he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, oh, like this, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the tabi, he never met the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So there's clearly a missing link there. There's clearly a missing link there. So now this is considered a type of hadith that's called mursal. Mursal, and it's a type of hadith that is weak, although the weakness is light. And it could be, yani, it could be mended. That weakness could be mended if the narrations came by more than one chain. Or here we have the meaning of the narration, yani, is supported by a number of other evidences. And in any case, this narration has weakness in it. The narration, it reads that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, إِنَّ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ بِالنَّاسِ يُفْتَحُ لِأَحَدِهِمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بَابٌ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ هَلُمَّ هَلُمَّ فَيَجِئُ بِقُرْبِهِ وَغَمِّهِ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أُغْلِقَ دُونَهُ ثم يفتح له باب آخر فيقال له هلما فيقال له هلما هلما فيجيء بقربه وغمه فإذا جاءه أغلق دونه فما يزال كذلك حتى إن أحدهم ليفتح له الباب من أبواب الجنة فيقال له هلما فما يأتيه من اليأس. أخرجه البيهقي. So the narration, it reads now that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that indeed those people who mock others, those people who mock the people, that in the hereafter a doorway will be open for them, a gate will be open for them from the gates of paradise, and it will be said to them, "Come, come," and then they will come in their great grief and their great worry. They'll come in their great grief and their great worry, and then as soon as they get to the door, it will be closed in their face, and then another door will be opened. And from the doors of paradise or the gateways of paradise, and it will be said to them, "Come, come," and then they'll rush there, and they'll come, yani, with their troubles and with their grief and their worries, yani, hoping to get into to the paradise and out of the hardship that they're facing. And then whenever they get there, the door will be closed in their face, and that a person, one of them, he will continue in this manner until the doors will be opened for him from paradise, and he will not even go there anymore because of his despair. And because he has lost all hope, because every time he has went, any of this has happened to him. So Allah knows best about the authenticity of this narration or the meaning of this narration, but no doubt the threat with regards to those who mock others is established, and that this is a major sin. As for this specific punishment, then this is not established any on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani, authentically. And Allah knows best. He says, "Wa li ibni Abi Hatim wa ghayrihi min ibni Amr marfu'an man mata hammazin lammazin mulaqiban lin-nasi kana 'alamatuhu an yasimahu Allahu 'ala al-khurtum min kila shidqain." And also it has been narrated by Ibn Abi Hatim. Ibn Abi Hatim, who's that? Ar-Razi. Ibn Abi Hatim. What's his name? Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim. Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Hatim. When did he die? We took this just in the previous classes. Huh? We were discussing about this affair. 327. And his father is Abu Hatim al-Razi, the great scholar of hadith, the one who traveled all over the lands in search of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's from the narrators of hadith. And his son, he has a number of works from them. Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil. This is what we were reading from, the biographies of some of the Salaf and from them his father. Rahimahum Allahu Ta'ala. Likewise, he has another great work called Tafsir. Tafsir ibn Abi Hatim. That's how it's known. Tafsir ibn Abi Hatim. And it's a tafsir narrated by chain. Narrated by chain. So this is from this particular work here. He says that it's narrated from Ibn Amr. Marfu'an. Marfu'an meaning that from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man mata hammazin lammazin mulaqiban linnas. The one who dies while he's mocking and belittling, making fun of the people and giving them foul and lowly nicknames, and he calling them bad names. كان علامته أن يسمه الله على الخرطوم من كلا شدقين. It will be a sign. It will be a sign that this person had committed this particular crime, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will brand him on his face or on his nose from both sides, and the punishment will come to him in his face in this manner, from both sides. Likewise, this narration has some weakness in the chain, and Allah knows best. But indeed, the punishment for those who make the hams and the lams is established. It's established in the Quran. Who knows the verse for that? Any the threat of the hellfire for those who make the hems and the lems, and those who talk bad about the people and mock them and backbite them with their tongue and with their body language as well. Hamaz al Masha' bin Namim. This is one. Ahsanta. Also, any more clear? Allah says, "Wala tuti'. Do not obey the likes of this person." And he mentioning that these are from the foul traits. The one who was Hamaz, Masha' bin Namim. The one who was mocking the people and belittling them and making fun of them. But they're threatened with the hellfire. There's a clear threat in the Quran that the one who makes the hams and the lams, he's threatened with the punishment and the hellfire. What verse is that? Wail li kulli humazatil lumaza. Wail. Wail is a threat of the punishment in the hellfire. This is a sign here that it's a major sin. Wail li kulli humaza. Lumaza. For every humaza, lumaza. The humaza and the lumaza, those people who are belittling and mocking others and making fun of them. Belittling and mocking others and making fun of them. The adhams is by action. Maybe he'll look at them and be like, he'll point at somebody and he'll be like this. And may put his nose up in the air, or he'll make some type of body language indicating that he's belittling them. That's called the hams. Yahmizuhu. And the lems is with the lisan, with the tongue, whenever he says it about them, literally. He talks about them. So he'll belittle them with his speech and with his body language. In this manner, like this. So-and-so, he's nothing like this. Like this. And he belittling them and mocking them. Any of the people who are innocent. The people who are innocent. This is something that is lowly and not allowed. So the fact that they're threatened with the hellfire, this is definitely something established in the Quran and in the Sunnah. After this, the author, he says, Babu Tarwi' al-Muslim. Babu Tarwi' al-Muslim. The chapter with regards to frightening a Muslim. The chapter with regards to frightening a Muslim. And he putting fear into his heart, making him afraid. Making him afraid. This is very, very general. Meaning to cause him to be frightened, to startle him. To startle him. This is also a sign of the great status and the honor that a believer he has, a Muslim he has with Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not allowed to frighten him. It's not allowed to startle him. It's not allowed to put fear in his heart in any manner. It's not allowed to put fear in his heart in any manner, not even joking. Not even joking. It's not allowed. It's not allowed, rather it's a major sin, to cause fear to enter the heart of a believer, to become startled, even if somebody's joking and laughing and playing a game. Joking and laughing and playing a game. So the author, he says, and Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Layla, أنه قال حدثنا أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنهم كانوا يسيرون مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنام رجل منهم فقام بعضهم إلى حبل معه فأخذه ففزع فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه لا يحل لمسلم أن يروع أخاه لا يحل لمسلم أن يروع أخاه رواه أبو داود Abu Dawood. And this narration is authentic. And it's been narrated here, the author, he says, by Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, they narrated to him. They narrated to him that at one time they were on a journey and they're traveling, and an individual from amongst them, he slipped. And they're on a journey together, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some of his companions radiyallahu anhum. And they take time to take a break and to rest. And one of them is asleep and he has a rope in his hand. So some individuals, they came to him while he's sleeping and pulled the rope out of his hand and startled him from his sleep. And he woke up startled and out of fright, not knowing what had happened. And he's sleeping on a journey, wallahu alam, from an excursion and a battle and the likes like this, and Allah knows best. And then he's sleeping, he has a rope in his hand. And then somebody comes and along in order to, you know, to play with him and to laugh. And they pulled it out of his hand quickly in order to wake him up, but also to joke with him. And it startled him and scared him. And it's mentioned as well that some of them, they began laughing and the likes like this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he says, لا يحل, it's not permissible, it's not allowed, لِمُسْلِمٍ أَن يُرَوِّعَ أَخَاهُ, it's not allowed for a Muslim to startle his brother. It's not allowed for a Muslim to startle his brother. And this is a foul way, this is a bad way, that a person, he will be joking and he will come behind somebody and scare them or frighten them or startle them, especially if they're sleeping and the likes like this. If they're sleeping, come behind them and scream in their face to wake them up suddenly or bring noises, or even some of them, they'll put weapons in their face and the likes like this. Wadiyadu billah, and claim that they're joking. And claim that they're joking, or make loud noises, or do other affairs, or they'll have somebody call their family and say, such and such happened to your child. And then after that they say, ha, I'm joking. Ha, I'm joking. Like this. And it, as a game, wadiyadu billah, all of this is not allowed. All of this is not allowed. Life is greater than that. And the religion of Allah is greater than that. And the right and the honor and the hearts of the believers are greater than that. It's not allowed to startle them or to cause them to become afraid or the likes like this, to put fear in their heart in any manner. Not even joking. Not even joking. And many times, any this affair here, this will have a great effect on some people. And sometimes if a person, he's treated like this as he's young, then he will grow up and he'll be insensitive. He'll have psychological problems. And then maybe he will be from those people who are a pushover and people take advantage of them for the rest of their life. Or they will have the waswasa will affect them and the likes like this, because whenever they are young, people are always taking advantage of them and every chance they could get to scare him and to frighten him and the likes like this. Or people, for example, who are not able to swim, and then somebody will joke with them and play with them, and like they're throwing them in the water or pushing them in the water. Maybe it's not any that deep or the likes like this, or maybe a person, he's just playing and dunk their head under the water, but this person, he has a fear of that affair. He has a fear of that affair. It will affect their heart. It affects the heart, and many times it'll affect their manners and the likes like this, and they'll be insecure and they'll be sensitive and the likes like this, and could affect them for the rest of their life, wadiyadu billah. So this is all foul and not allowed. This is all foul and not allowed. It's not allowed to scare the Muslims or the believers. And if this is something that had occurred, then a believer, he will stop doing that. And if a brother is doing that to his sisters, or the sisters to the brothers, or the likes like this, family members, sometimes this is not the way to joke, and this is not the way to play. And this must be stopped. And if there are people doing that, they should be reprimanded and they should be forbidden. And the likes of these narrations should be clarifying that this is something that is not allowed. You don't joke in this manner. We do not joke in this manner, like this, in a manner that will cause a believer to become scared. And to make somebody think that something is happening, something serious is happening, something dangerous is occurring. And then after that, oh, I'm just joking, ha ha ha. And it's a laugh for him. And the likes like this, this is not the way of a believer. So after this, the author, he says, "Babu al-mutashabbi'i bima lam yu'ta." Babu al-mutashabbi'i bima lam yu'ta. The chapter of the mutashabbi' bima lam yu'ta. The one who has the tashabbu', pretending to have something that he does not have. The chapter about the one who pretends to have a particular virtue, any from the religion or from the worldly life, that he in reality he does not have. He does not have to pretend to be someone that they are not. So the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, bab al-mutashabbi' bima lam yu'ta. The chapter of the one who pretends to have something that he does not. Yani al-mutashabbi' is is from يعني الشبع يعني من يظهر أنه أنه شبعان وليس بشبعان. That's the meaning يعني linguistically. He pretends that he's full of something and he's not full. And he's not full. The people of knowledge, they mention he is المتزين بما ليس عنده يتكثر بذلك ويتفاخر. يتكثر بذلك ويتفاخر. يعني the one who pretends or he adorns himself or tries to make himself look good يعني with something that he does not have. Or something that he does not have and in order to brag or to boast or to have position or rank. يعني this is the case here. So the person who pretends to have something he does not, whether it's from the religion like knowledge, or whether it's from the worldly life like money or wealth or a particular status or rank, all of this here is included. He will pretend to have that, and really, in reality, he doesn't have that. And in reality, he doesn't have that in order to brag or in order to boast. So this is the chapter here. يعني from التشبع. والمتشبع is the المتزين. بما ليس عنده يتكثر بذلك ويتفاخر. يتكثر بذلك ويتفاخر. Pretending that he has more than others and pretending that he's better than others with something that he does not even have in his hands himself. Something that he does not even have in his hands himself. He says, وَلَهُمَا مِنْ أَسْمَاءٍ وَلَهُمَا مِنْ أَسْمَاءٍ. And from the two of them, meaning Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Asma, رضي الله عنها, بنت أبي بخر رضي الله عنها, she says, أَنَّ امْرَأَةً قَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ إِنَّ لِي ضَرَّةً فَهَلْ عَلَيَّ جُنَاحٌ إِن تَشَبَّعْتُ مِنْ زَوْجِي بِمَا لَمْ يُعْطِينِي. So now a woman, she says, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have a co-wife. So is there any blame on me if I pretend that my husband has given me something that he did not give me? Is there any blame on me? And this is the case between the co-wives, any competing for the love of the husband, to the extent that she's asking now, would I be blameworthy if I were to make it appear to my co-wife that my husband, that our husband gave me something that he gave me something that he really didn't give, and in order to make it apparent, make it seem like, you know, he loves her so much, and maybe she will go take her own money, for example, and purchase something in her house, or purchase some jewelry, or purchase some clothing with her own money, and then she'll meet her co-wife and be like, oh my, yeah, this is from the gift of my husband, and the likes. I will pretend that it's from the husband and like this, or make it seem like he bought that for her. And in reality, she bought it herself, or her relatives gave it to her as a gift. And so she's asking the question now. And this is also, yani we see the issue here, and we know the ghayra that goes between the wives, but also we see the diligence of this particular person to find the truth. And this affair maybe is coming up in the heart, maybe across the mind, but before it goes down, or if it had happened before, we need to find out the ruling. We need to find out the ruling. So they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask about this. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَ الْمُتَشَبِّعُ بِمَا لَمْ يُعْطَى كَلَابِسِ ثَوْبَيْ زُورٍ. The one who pretends to have something that he was not, that in reality he does not have, it's like the one he's wearing two counterfeit garments. Like he's wearing two counterfeit garments. Any meaning like somebody who literally has two garments on. Both of them, maybe they're very nice, but neither of them belong to him. And so he's pretending that he's got this maybe some very valuable and nice clothing on, and he's looking really nice and good, but it's not even his clothing. And then he has to take it off and give it to somebody else. It doesn't belong to him. So he's pretending that he has this nice clothing, but in reality he doesn't have nice clothing. It's a fake. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. This person is like that. This narration came in recent classes. What was it about? About al-ilm, about the knowledge and about the manners of the student. And there was a warning about this with regards to knowledge, with regards to pretending to have knowledge that one doesn't have. And the likes like this, are pretending to have a level in knowledge that one doesn't have. And the threat from that, or the advice from that, is for a student of knowledge specifically to know his rank and to know his level, and to suffice with that. And if he wants to have a higher rank, then he'll work hard and strive for that. And he'll not pretend. You're not to pretend to be something that he's not. And likewise, a person in this life, he would not pretend to be something that he's not. He would not act like he's this and that whenever he's not. And he would not act like he has this and that whenever he doesn't. And so this is the case here in this narration with regards to the worldly life, but the people of knowledge have understood this in a general sense. So anybody who pretends to have something and he decorate himself, trying to make himself seem appealing, try to make himself seem good, like he has virtue, whether it's in the religion or it's in knowledge or whether it's in the worldly life and the likes like this, he's trying to make the people believe that he has some virtue that in reality he doesn't have. He's pretending. This is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. Here the author, he's mentioning this issue in the book called Al-Kabair. Al-Kabair, from the major sense, to pretend like this. To pretend like this. After this, the author, he says, Babu at-tahadduthi bil-ma'siyah. The chapter with regards to talking about actions of disobedience. And to talking about them, meaning to speak about them after performing them. And to tell a person or to tell others about one's own actions of disobedience. No doubt this is a lowly way. No doubt this is a lowly way. The author, he says, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. What does that mean? وَلَهُمَا عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. Who can interpret this? This is the methodology of the author in a number of words, but we should know what it means now. وَلَهُمَا وَلَهُمَا يَعْنِي الْبُخَارِي and Muslim. So this is an indication the narration is مُتَّفِقٌ عَلَيْهِ يَعْنِي فِي أَعْلَى دَرَجَةِ الصِّحَةِ, the highest level of authenticity. عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. What does that mean? That is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu marfu'an, meaning that it's a narration ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's a narration ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, "Kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirin, wa inna min al-mujahara an ya'mal al-rajulu 'amalan bil-layli thumma yusbihu wa qad satarahu Allahu fa yaqulu ya fulan عملت البارحة كذا وكذا وقد بات يستره ربه واسبح يكشف ستر الله عليه." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "All of my ummah is mu'afa," meaning they're going to be safe and they're going to be in well-being, meaning that their sins are going to be pardoned insha'Allah, and that they're going to have a good meeting with their Lord, except for al-mujahirin, except for those who publicly sin. Publicly commit actions of disobedience, and public in front of the people with no shyness. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and from this publicizing of one's own sins and displaying one's own sins, is that a man, he would do an action at nighttime. He will work a bad deed at nighttime, and he will wake up, and Allah had covered his sin all night long. And then he will say, "Hey, so and so, oh so and so, last night I did this and that," and he from the actions of disobedience. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spent the whole night, and Allah covered his sins. And then he wakes up in the morning, and he uncovers and reveals, reveals the cover that Allah had covered him with. And so, what is intended here? No doubt, the mujahirun, the ones who publicly display their sins, they sin in public. They sin in public in front of the people with no shyness. This is what is intended first and foremost. And from that. And what is included in that is not necessarily somebody who is sinning in public. Maybe he'll sin in private, but then after that he'll expose himself. So this is also considered from that same aspect and also from that same threat. So there's a great threat with regards to this. And that all of the ummah, they're going to have their mu'afa, fi'afia, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will pardon them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will not take them to account. That inshallah Allah azza wa jalla will make it easy for them. And the likes like this in their accountability in the hereafter, except for the likes of these people who display their sins and they publicize their sins and they do them outwardly. And we see that today, it's even in the most disgusting manner, that some of them, they will publicize their sins. Not only in public, they will disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla, but even they will record themselves with cameras and video, and then they'll post it on all these different type of social media, all over on TikTok and on Facebook and on WhatsApp and all these different social media for millions of people to look at them disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. For millions of people to look at them disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even some of the sisters have fallen into the likes of this. They'll cover themselves whenever they walk out of their house, but whenever they're home, they'll take down
they'll take off their hijab and they'll videotape themselves and put the video on for the whole world to see, waliyadu billah, on Facebook or on the different social media. This is a foul way. This is exposing themselves in the worst manner. And this is from the worst and most disgusting of sins, that a person, not only he will have weakness in his religion and deficiency in his deen, and he will perpetrate the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal, but on top of that, he will videotape himself doing that, and then let other people see about it. And then a person's heart can become so corrupted that he will not stop there, rather he'll brag about it. Look at me, like this, here I am with this person, and here I am with that person, and this is on this night, and this is on New Year's Eve, and this is a bottle of this, and we are riding in that car, and to the end of it, this is really a foul way, and this is something that is very dangerous. And from that, likewise, even if a person, he didn't do it in that manner, where he's exposed himself, yani directly in front of the people, even if he did the sin privately, and then after that he told others about it, this is likewise the threat here. This is likewise the threat here. A person, no doubt, we all fall into sins. But the sins that are covered, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He covers our sins, and He doesn't expose us. These sins right here, you keep them covered and you don't expose them. You keep them covered and you don't expose them. So anybody who has fallen into a sin, a major sin or a minor sin, he does not tell anybody about that. He does not tell anybody about that. Rather, he repents to Allah Azza wa Jal and he asks Allah for forgiveness, even if he's tried by that. And he keeps falling back into it, he will keep repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will keep that between him and his Lord, and he will not tell anyone about that. If he fell into fornication, he will not tell anyone about that. If he fell into alcohol, he will not tell anyone about that. If he missed the prayer, he will not tell anyone about that. If he fell into any type of sin, major or minor, he will not tell the people about that. Rather, he will repent to Allah Azza wa Jal and keep that between him and Allah. And so long as Allah has covered him, alhamdulillah. If Allah covers you in this life and you're truthful, inshallah, He will cover you in the hereafter likewise. But as for the one whom Allah, He covers, and then a person, he comes along and he reveals the cover himself, exposing his weakness and exposing his faults, and this one he has the threat of a major punishment. This one he has the threat of a major punishment. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي الشَّتْمِ بِالزِّنَى بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي الشَّتْمِ بِالزِّنَى. The chapter with regards to what has come about a shatam بِالزِّنَى. What does a shatam mean? This word has come a number of times likewise. A sab, you need to curse somebody, to call them bad names, and to say bad things about them, to accuse them of different crimes and the likes like this, or to call them names. This is called a shatam, and also a sab. But here the shatam yukunu bizina, yani he will curse him and call him bad names, but he's calling him bad names, yani like the names of fornication. So it's one thing to call a person bad name, you're this and you're that. You're this and you're that. But here is to call him, you're this and you're that, but to call him you're a fornicator, or the son of a fornicator, or to call his mother a fornicator, or his father like this, or to call him a fornicator, and to accuse him like this. But wallahu a'lam, what is intended here from the chapter title, not actually accusing him of fornication, but slandering him like that, calling him that as a bad name. Wallahu a'lam, the qadhf has a whole other chapter. So qadhf is to accuse somebody of that, and he means that. But this person, maybe he's not necessarily accusing him of that, but he's calling him that name, yani as from aspect of shatam. And sometimes they'll do that. Sometimes the youth, they'll fall into that and they'll say these words and they'll use the qadhf, yani accusing them like this, but they're not necessarily accusing them. They're just calling them this name, yani as a means of degrading them and belittling them. So wallahu a'lam, this is yani what is intended. And inshallah, we take the details of this in the class to come. Any questions or comments now with regards to that which has preceded, or corrections? Barakallahu fikum. Naam? No question. How to identify a major sin? What are the signs a sin is considered a major sin? If there's a mention of a punishment for it in this life or the hereafter. So a punishment in this life would be a legal punishment in this life, or a punishment in the hereafter, or the curse of Allah. or the anger of Allah, or the anger of Allah, or that Allah
or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would free themselves from a person. Laysa minna.
فَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِنِّي. Like this. لَيْسَ مِنَّا.
Like this. يعني فَمَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. This is a sign, it's a major sin.
مَنْ رَقِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي.
The likes of this. Or also to negate the faith.
وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِن.
وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِن.
Like this.
So-and-so doesn't believe.
لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى.
Like this. This is all indications when the faith is negated, or whenever there's a threat of a legal punishment in this life, or a punishment in the hereafter or in the grave, or the mention of the anger of Allah, or the mention of the curse of Allah, or if the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed himself from this person, or if he said that person, he's not from us, all of this is an indication that that particular action or statement is a major sin. Is a major sin. What's the proof that the sins are divided into major and minor? What's the proof that the sins are divided into major and minor? The sins are major sins and minor sins, correct? إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. نعم أحسنت. If you stay away from the major sins that you have been prohibited from, then we'll expiate from you the minor sins that you have fallen into. So here this verse is clear that there are major sins and minor sins. That there are major sins and minor sins. So in order for the good deeds to expiate the sins, what must one do? In order for the good deeds, yani, to expiate the small deeds, what must one do? Stay away from the major sins. So if a person did not stay away from the major sins, then his good deeds will not expiate his minor sins. The minor sins will only be expiated by the good deeds if a person avoided the major sins. So the small sins are erased and expiated by the good deeds. But what about the major sins?
Only by sincere repentance and tawbah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.